you're back to Ephesians chapter 5. While I was preparing this message, I was enjoying preparing this message very much. I thought the Lord's given me something to say. And while I was looking over my notes this evening for bringing this message, the thought occurred to me, I'm not a very thankful person. That's what hit me reading this passage of Scripture. Now, I ought to be. You ought to be. But how little my thankfulness comes out. And I pray that the Lord will use this message to make me and to make you truly thankful people. I'm not talking about people who endure trouble and trial because they had no choice and just resigned to it, but people who are truly thankful. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Truly thankful. Now look once again at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5. When should I give thanks? Giving thanks always. Always. For what should I give thanks? For all things. To whom should I give thanks? To God and the Father. How should I give thanks? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, a few pages over. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now this is a command. To not do so is sin. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, yes, that means it's God's will for you to give thanks, but whatever it is you're going through, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's what you need. It's God's purpose for you. It's God who is too wise to err and too kind to be cruel, working this together for you, for His glory and your eternal good. In everything, give thanks. Now, I don't know that there's anything more ugly than unthankfulness. Ungratefulness. It's a child of hatred for God. Turn with me to Romans 1. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, talking about the creation, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And look at this next phrase. Neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, creation. speaks. You know what it says? God is. Somebody made this creation. There's nothing more unreasonable and irrational and illogical than being an atheist. It doesn't even make sense. Something's got a cause. Everything's got a cause. Things don't just come into being. This universe didn't just come into being. God created the heavens and the earth. Everybody can see this. Everybody can see his power from this. And everybody can see that nobody made him. His eternal power in Godhead. Somebody made this and nobody made him. That's a conclusion that everybody is bound to make. And I've said this before. There are committed atheists. There's no doubt about that. But they didn't begin that way. Nobody begins an atheist. You have to take a leap into the dark to take that direction. But what happens when people do not respond to the invisible things of men from the creation of the world that are clearly seen? Here's what happens with men, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't like what they saw. They didn't like what they heard. They didn't like the implications of God being God, of God being all-powerful, and God being eternal, never having a beginning. You see, there's all kinds of implications to that. And men don't like those implications. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Now, unthankfulness means you don't like the way God is. You don't love it. You have a sense of entitlement, thinking there are certain things that are owed you and that you deserve better than what you're getting. Now, such thinking is evil. Amen? Such thinking is evil. Now, somebody may ask the question, can a believer be unthankful? Well, I'll answer that question by asking this question. Does a believer still have a sinful nature? A fallen nature? Yes, he does. But that doesn't make it excusable. That a believer, someone that God has saved, someone that God has revealed himself to, somebody that God gave his son to die for, somebody that God gave a new nature to, then be unthankful. It seems too monstrous to even consider. But yet, it's true of every one of us. None of us are as thankful as we should be. Now, what brings this on, this spirit of unthankfulness, even in a believer? Well, doubt with regard to God's character. Questioning his goodness. Questioning his wisdom and knowing what he's doing. Questioning his sovereignty. Selfishness and self-will. This is not according to what I want. And bring on an unthankful spirit. Worldliness. Too much of a desire for the pleasures, the popularity, and the power of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When my thoughts and heart are taken up with them, I'm going to be unthankful. I don't have enough of what I want. A critical spirit arises from ungratefulness. Impatience, the desire for instant gratification, creates unthankfulness. Coldness and lukewarmness creates unthankfulness. Out and out rebellion, being angry with God, being mad that the Lord let this take place. That creates unthankfulness. Would you turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 17? Luke 17. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. That were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of them. They experienced a supernatural miracle of healing. They were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them. And you think 10, but no, one of them. When he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found. They returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. 9 out of these 10 gave no glory to God. They gave no thanks. Now, that's bad. That's real bad. One did. I want to be that one, don't you? I want to be that one that returns to give thanks and to glorify him. To fail to give thanks is to fail to give him the glory. To fail to give him the glory is to give it to yourselves. To give it to yourselves is the fruit of self-righteousness and self-entitlement. One returned. Now, I think it's interesting that one of the words that grace is translated into is the word thanks. Thanks. That's how connected the doctrine of grace and the doctrine of thanks is. If you and I ever understand anything about the grace of God, we will give thanks. The words are used interchangeably. Now, somebody thinking, how can I be thankful? The question is, how can you not be thankful? How can you not be thankful? Listen to this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Most of you are familiar with it. Perhaps most of you can even quote it. But here it is. And you know. I love the way he says we're making a, he doesn't say we're making a speculation. We think things might be this way. He says, we know that all things work together for good. Them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, everything that God has sent your way, everything, and some of you have had some trouble and some trial and some things that are very, very difficult. But it is part of the all things that God has sent your way, working it together for your good. And his glory. Therefore, we can give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me and concerning you. Whatever's happened, whatever has happened, it is all included in this, in all things. Give thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, God has already given you his grace gift. He that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. Talking about all of God's elect, all of those for whom Christ died. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? Now, God's power is such that his will always comes to pass. And whatever takes place with me or with you is his will being done for me or for you. There's nothing to be unthankful for. Now, that does not mean that we will not experience grief. That does not mean we will not experience disappointment. That does not mean we will not experience pain. That does not mean we will experience loss as far as the way we feel. We will. But where would we be without the promise of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, sometimes somebody will be going through something and you might remind them of that, they'll probably get irritated. I've been irritated before when I was feeling bad and somebody says, man, you know all things work together. Well, yeah, let me deal with this. But there are other times when that's just what you need to hear. Really, it's what you need to hear all the time. But sometimes you have ears to hear. Sometimes you don't. Oh, I want to have ears to hear this. And this is not a stiff upper lip, take it. This is not a stoic, fatalist mentality, but thankfulness, joy in the midst of sorrow. My God hath done all things well. Being thankful always for all things, giving thanks to the Father in the name of the Son. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. What a blessing it is that we're given this commandment to be careful for nothing, be anxious concerning nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. If thanksgiving is not there, the prayer and supplication is not there. You're thanking the Lord that he hears. You know, somebody says, what about unanswered prayer? There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. He might say no. And if he says no, it's for your good. There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. He might answer it. He might say no. But we can be thankful for this. Whatever he does is best, right, for his glory, and for our good. And look what he says next, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now, I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't understand what God is doing in your life. But you know, I have peace because he does. And he's in absolute control. And doesn't that make you peaceful? That God is the first cause behind everything that takes place. Now this thing of believing God is sovereign. You believe he's sovereign in everything, but you don't believe he's sovereign at all. There's no in between. He's either God, the first cause of everything, or who knows what's going on. I don't know what the alternative to that is. There's no good, I know that. God is in absolute control. And with everything that happens, it's God doing it. Are you misrepresented? Are you slandered? Are you slighted? Are you sick? Are you having a difficult time? It's God. I'm so thankful that the Lord put this in about David. David has been good to Saul. He believed Saul to be the Lord's anointed. He had opportunities to put him to death, and Saul was trying to kill him, and David wouldn't do it. He said, I don't know if that's the Lord's anointed. And so when he's fleeing, Absalom is after him. His own flesh and blood, his own sons turned against him. He's going to kill him. And then Shimei starts on him. You're a bloody man. God's turning his back on you for the evil you've done to the house of Saul. Wasn't so. He was being misrepresented. He was being slandered. He was being lied on. And Abishai, his faithful servant, said, let me go take his head off. And David said, no. The Lord said, curse David. Anything that happens to me or you, the Lord said for it to happen. What a blessing it is to remember the Lord said. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is so beautiful in so many different ways. We could spend so much time thinking of his beauty, the beauty of his character. And that's what I so look forward to, dying and being done with being me and being perfectly conformed to his image in my experience. I love what David said. As for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I wait with thy likeness. Now, every believer has his character because they've been born of God. But the flesh makes it to where you can't see it. You believe it's there, but the flesh makes it to where you can't see it. That's how horrible this flesh, this old sinful nature is. But to think of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's so many things we could say. But think about his thankfulness. I love it when he has a meal, he gives thanks. And his giving of thanks is so much like our giving. Oh, how thankful he was for that which his father provided him. He said on one occasion, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, if it seems good in his sight, you know what? It's good. It's good. It's all good. Whatever he does is good. Paul said to the church of Corinth, we thank God for the grace that's given you. Something that simple. We thank God for the grace that's given you. Listen to this scripture. We're bound to thank God. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We're bound. We're obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Well, that's something to be thankful for, isn't it? To be beloved of God. I want to be like David. When David means beloved, I want to be beloved of God. I don't take that for granted. I want to be somebody that he loves. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you. Salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I hope we never look at election as just doctrine. Oh, it's the doctrine due to a divine praise. Think about this. He made himself known to you. He chose you. He saved you. He gave his son for you. How ugly is any type of unthankfulness? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Have you heard of people living what they call defeated Christian lives? Ain't no such thing. You can't get that from the scripture. Thanks be unto God, which how often? Always causes us to triumph in Christ. At all times, under all circumstances, victory. Somebody says, what about when you sin? Should you thank God when you sin? I can hear somebody thinking that. Should you thank God when you sin? Lord, I thank you, I committed this sin. No.
What a defensive to even think about.
You know better than that. Your sin is your fault. But I tell you what, you can thank the God who brings good out of evil. And even in your sin, he brings good out of evil. You can thank him for that, can't you? What about when Joseph said to his brethren, who sold him into slavery into Egypt with malicious malintent, he said, you meant it for evil. And boy, they did. That was a, you know, they talk about the 12 patriarchs. That was the most wicked bunch of people. I mean, even when Jacob describes them, that's the way he describes them, the instruments of cruelty. My soul, come not near that. Just the way he talked about boys. I mean, he didn't make them into your boys. He didn't talk about the children. He didn't talk about his wife, except for Judah. Judah and I are the lions, well. The lion tribe of Judah, because Christ would come out of Judah. But at any rate, Joseph said to his brethren, you meant it for evil. You had no good intentions. But God meant it for good. And even your evil will be used by him who brings good out of evil. And I think of that scripture, the elder shall serve the younger, the old nature, the sinful nature. You know what it does? It serves the younger, the new nature. And it causes you, even your sin, causes you to understand that the only righteousness you have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you rejoice in it. That doesn't mean you thank the Lord that you sin. Lord, I thank you I sinned. No, I'm not going to do that. Sin is never okay. But I'm thankful for him who is in control, sovereign control of all things. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. Verse 14, for we know. You know, I love the way Paul says this. I don't have to argue with a believer. Somebody says, well, Paul was speaking as an unbeliever when he said this. No way. When he's an unbeliever, he said, touching the righteousness, which is in all, I'm blameless. That's how he felt about himself before God saved him. This is after God saved him. This is his language. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Well, Paul, can't you just not sin? No. Sold under sin. Sold as a slave, locked up in a cage, in a jail that I can't get out of. And that's exactly what he means. If somebody wants to challenge that, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You're just dishonest. You've not learned the gospel, you've not learned who Christ is, you don't know who you are. But what he goes on to say, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, now I would never sin again. I would. What I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that's good. Now, then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know that about yourself. Has the Lord taught you that? For to will is present with me. I would be without sin. That's present with me right now. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. He doesn't say, sometimes I fail. He says, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I to do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me, the evil nature that I still possess. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after me and with me. I love God's law. I love the Ten Commandments. I love every commandment of God. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, not who I used to be, that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I love verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That too delivers me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What's that mean? Exactly what it says. Exactly what it says. I know people can turn that around and try to say, well, are you saying this? You say, no, I'm saying God said this. With my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But I love this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 for a moment. Verse 12. Beginning in verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which will make us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Did I read that right? No, I didn't read that right, did I? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Now, right now, as we're in this existence, there's an infinitely large number of people in heaven called the saints in light. They're praising the Lamb. They have no sin. They have no sorrow. They're perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. The saints in light. Right now, every believer has all that. We are fit right now to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. Right now. Right now. I and every other believer here on earth right now is fit for that group. Look further down this chapter, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. When he died, you know what took place? This glorious presentation. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's something to give thanks for that I have right now. Fitness for the inheritance of the saints in life. 1 Corinthians 15. Let me give you a few more. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood belong here to the kingdom of God, Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. There's a necessity to this, because Christ died for me. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and that sin has been put away. The strength of sin is the law, and that law has been honored. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, he's thanking God for the reception of the word. The very fact that you received the word, we're thanking God for. Now, I think it's interesting. Interesting is not the right word. Foolish would be a better word. But most people look at the act of reception as the saving act. God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody. God wants to save everybody. But it's up to you as to whether or not you receive it. If you receive it, you'll be saved. If you fail to receive it, you will not be saved. Thus, the reception of grace is the deciding factor in salvation. You know what that is? That's an unwillingness to thank God. That's all it is. It's an unwillingness to give God the praise and God the glory. If you receive, why did you receive? The grace of God caused you to receive. You can't give yourself the credit. My reception. I got a letter from somebody a couple of weeks ago. And he said, you need to be put out of business. He was just so upset with the preaching he was hearing. He said, God sets the table for everybody. But it's up to you as to whether or not you're going to eat the food. No. Making man's reception the deciding factor. No. We thank God even for your reception. Always giving thanks for all things. Trials, sickness, disgrace, whatever it is, giving thanks always for all things. And one last scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a constant understanding that the only way I can come into God's presence is in the name of Christ. No other way. No other way. Whatever I'm feeling, whether I'm feeling sinful, whether I'm feeling blessed, whether I'm feeling thankful, whether I'm seeing my own wicked ungratefulness, whatever the case, I know this at all times. The only way I can come into the presence of God is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even my giving of thanks, I give thanks in His name. My thankfulness is not good enough. Yours isn't either. We give thanks in His name. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. And I love the way it's said by Him. You know, we would have put the period after giving thanks to God and the Father. But that's not what the Scripture speaks. Giving thanks to God the Father by Him. my own unthankfulness, be thankful. And I know that as long as I got an old nature, I'm going to battle with my old nature. But I sure am thankful that everything God requires of me, I already have in Christ Jesus. And it's what He has provided. I'm so thankful that He really is sovereign. And that He controls everything, everybody, and every event. May the Lord enable me and you to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, by Your grace, in the name of Thy Son, we give thanks always for all things to You in the name of Thy blessed Son. We are so thankful that You are God. And Lord, we rest in whatever You bring our way, knowing it's from You. And Lord, with regard to everything that comes our way, may we hear You say to our souls, be of good cheer, it's I. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's